From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. Damp weather and calmer winds over the weekend helped firefighters gain the upper hand on the Summit Fire in Santa Cruz and Santa Clara counties. At last report, firefighters had the Summit about 80% contained. It scorched nearly 4,300 acres, including 36 homes. Officials say they expect to fully contain the fire later today and hope to have everybody evacuated back in their homes by Thursday. It's been a busy weekend in Pasadena, too, where scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory are hovering over the controls of the Phoenix Mars lander. Phoenix set down on the red planet Sunday, on course to conduct an Arctic dig. Over the next 3 months, Phoenix will probe the soil looking for evidence of organic compounds. Early next month, the House of Representatives is expected to take up an emergency spending bill to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan well into the next year. San Francisco Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi is a chief backer of the bill, a stark reminder that Pelosi's pledge to end the war remains elusive. The California Report's Scott Schaefer has a two-part review of Pelosi's tenure as speaker, starting today with the Iraq War.
In November of 2006, the day after Democrats won a majority in the House, Nancy Pelosi, then poised to become Speaker, expressed hope that the Iraq War was about to wind down.
We must not continue on this catastrophic path, and so hopefully we can work with the President for a new direction, one that solves the problems in Iraq.
But today, 15 months into her speakership, there are more U.S. troops in Iraq than the day she took the gavel, and the American death toll has passed 4,000. Earlier this month, I spoke with Pelosi in her office at the U.S. Capitol. Sitting near a window that perfectly frames the Washington Monument, the San Francisco Democrat was most animated talking about Iraq.
The president has a tin ear to the voice of the American people. They spoke. He didn't care. He has a blind eye to what's happening on the ground in Iraq. He's got his head in the sand.
How disappointed are you that you haven't been able to do more in terms of ending the war?
Very disappointed. It's the main issue. Everything else is eclipsed by the war. All of our accomplishments are eclipsed by the war because we didn't end the war. And the war has an impact on other issues.
The district Pelosi represents is one of the most liberal in the nation. But as Speaker, Pelosi's constituents are the other 235 Democrats in Congress, including the most conservative members known as the Blue Dogs. Anti-war activist Medea Benjamin says in keeping those Democrats united in the House, Pelosi has abandoned her principles.
I think a lot of us feel betrayed by Nancy Pelosi.
Benjamin, founder of the aggressive anti-war group Code Pink, says liberals were encouraged by Pelosi's anti-war rhetoric before the 2006 election.
And what we see now, it's been part of a political game. Talk a hard line, put the blame on Bush, but make sure the money keeps flowing, at least until the presidential elections.
Benjamin thinks Pelosi has failed to pressure the conservative Blue Dog Democrats into supporting troop withdrawal deadlines, a charge that makes Pelosi bristle.
We have a very progressive caucus, and when we came to voting for a definite timetable for withdrawal from Iraq, our Blue Dogs have been with us. They have not strayed from this.
Pelosi has a point. In April of last year, Congress did pass legislation calling on President Bush to bring most of the troops home by the end of 2008, but he vetoed it. Since then, the surge of troops has changed the political climate around Iraq, making some Democrats leery of supporting a troop withdrawal. Last week, the Senate overwhelmingly passed a $165 billion emergency war funding bill with no deadlines for bringing home troops. That bill now goes back to the House, where Pelosi is having a harder time keeping Democrats in line. Blue Dog Democrats object to the bill because it includes billions of dollars in additional domestic spending for veterans and others, while anti-war Democrats oppose its funding the war well into next year. And President Bush is threatening to veto it anyway. The Speaker came in pledging to work closely with President Bush, but while the President is said to like her personally, the political partnership she hoped for is often strained at best. Former Republican National Committee Chair Rich Bond puts it this way.
There's a lot to like about Nancy Pelosi, but that's not the conversation. The conversation is, does she pass the measurements of success in her first term as Speaker? And I think she maybe gets a D. Speaker Pelosi has no relationship with the President of the United States. It's toxic, and that really doesn't serve either side.
Tension between Pelosi and Bush reached a peak last month when the president tried to force Pelosi's hand by sending a Colombia free trade agreement to Capitol Hill over her strong objections. Pelosi orchestrated a controversial maneuver to essentially kill the bill. The move left Republicans howling in protest, with some calling her Czar Nancy. Still, she rejects the notion that she and Bush don't have a working relationship.
Oh, I think I have a very truthful and candid relationship with the president. He knows I have to do what I have to do, and I know he has to do what he has to do. It's not about a relationship. We have, I think, a good rapport. I just have major, drastic disagreements with him on his policy.
Congressional scholar Norman Orenstein of the nonpartisan American Enterprise Institute says the pushback from Democrats is long overdue.
You need a speaker who stands up for the Congress. And Nancy Pelosi has been more dogged and determined in protecting the role and prerogatives of the people's branch than any speaker we've had in modern times.
Orenstein says Pelosi has restored much-needed balance in Congress after 7 years of one-party rule in Washington. And Orenstein dismisses critics who say Pelosi should have done more to end the Iraq War.
There is no way a Congress is going to be able to stop an ongoing war where you have 100,000-plus Americans under fire in its tracks. That's just not a practical reality in the world.
Friends say the war grates on Pelosi. She's mostly frustrated that Democrats don't have the 60 votes needed in the Senate to apply more pressure on the administration. For that reason, she's keenly focused on helping Democrats expand their majority in the House and Senate and defeating John McCain in November. This August, she'll chair the Democrats' National Convention in Denver, putting her skills at keeping the party united to the ultimate test. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Tomorrow, how Nancy Pelosi took on some of the most powerful members of her party to enact real reforms. That's the California Report for Tuesday, May 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation and Cal Hospital Compare, rating hospital quality in California. On the web at calhospitalcompare.org, and the Wesley Foundation for coverage of immigration issues throughout California.